Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. It's an interactive double dip episode, starting with the notion that 2018 can be the launch of commercials you engage with on a regular basis. Connect, that's with a K, is one of the enterprises out to lead this change, and Chief Executive Mike Fitzsimmons joins me next. Santa Tracker is back, available to more than 28 million cable and satellite households nationwide. It's become a cornucopia of interactive activities for young and young at heart alike, from games to sing-alongs. More from Zone TV Chief Executive Jeff Whitmer later this hour, live from Toronto. Also ahead, our Golden Globe TV contenders and our new Classic Trivia Question of the Week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York and Blog Talk Radio, and distributed on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Lovable.com, proud development partner of the 2017 New York Television Festival, and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you aboard on this Monday afternoon, kicking off your week with the program All About Television. Believe it or not, 41 very sunny degrees at the top of the hour. The snow is pretty much melted that we got on Saturday, dusting pretty much here in New York compared to quite a few inches of people in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and all the way down in San Antonio, Texas, received over the weekend. We're delighted to have you with us, the wonderful guests that are very interactive coming your way in the next hour, and we invite you to be interactive with them. All it takes, raising your voice, then use the phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. Our chat room is open for business as well. Simon Apple 04 by name, and Rick Will, our friend from Philadelphia, is already in the room. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others with Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon somewhere on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. And Mike Fitzsimmons from Connect, that's with a K, will join us live from wherever he is. We don't know yet where, and he just got on the line. So we'll get to him and where he is after these news notes. Golden Globe Awards Ceremony number 75 is less than a month away. Nominations were announced in Los Angeles this morning, and here's who's up in the television categories. First of all, let's talk about the programs. For Best Comedy, the nominations are Blacklist on ABC, or say Blackish on ABC, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon. We have SMILF, that's one of the big surprises with this group of nominations, on Showtime, Master of None on Netflix, and Will & Grace on NBC. For Best Drama, the nominees are The Crown and Stranger Things on Netflix, Game of Thrones on HBO, The Handmaid's Tale, the Emmy Award winner for Best Drama from Hulu, and This Is Us again on NBC. And for Best Limited Series, that includes miniseries and limited series, as well as made-for-TV movies, the nominees are Big Little Lies on HBO, Fargo on FX, Feud also on FX, The Sinner on USA, and Top of the Lake China Girl on Sundance TV. For Best Actor, going to the acting categories, Best Actor in Comedy, we'll start with that. Anthony Anderson of Blackish, Aziz Ansari from Master of None. Kevin Bacon, big surprise for the Amazon series I Love Dick, produced by Joe Soloway. Also, we have William H. Macy for Shameless and Emma McCormick for Will & Grace. For Best Actor in Comedy, the nominees are Pamela Adlon for Better Things on FX, Alison Brie for Glow on Netflix, Issa Rae for HBO's Insecure, Rachel McAdams for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and finally, Frankie Shaw, the star of SMILF on Showtime. Moving on to drama, for Best Actor in a Drama, the nominees are Sterling K. Brown for This Is Us, Freddie Highmore for The Good Doctor on ABC, Bob Odenkirk for Better Call Saul on AMC. Let's see who else we have. We've got Jason Bateman, this is another big surprise, for Ozark, also on Netflix, and Lee Schreiber for Ray Donovan on Showtime. Best Actor in a Drama, we've got Katrina Volpe for Outlander on Stars, Claire Foy for The Crown on Netflix, Maggie Gyllenhaal, The Deuce on HBO. Let's see who else. Elizabeth Moss, of course, the Emmy winner for The Handmaid's Tale. And here's a wonderful surprise, Katherine Langford for 13 Reasons Why, also on Netflix. For Best Actor in a Limited Series, the nominations are Robert De Niro for The Wizard of Lies on HBO, Jude Law, the miniseries The Young Pope, also on HBO, Connor Block for the Showtime revival of Twin Peaks, with Dave Lynch and Mark Frost involved, Ewan McGregor for Fargo, and Jeffrey Rush, which despite some allegations of sexual harassment, he did get the nomination for National Geographic's first ever miniseries, an ongoing series too, Genius. that was on this past spring. For Best Actress in a Limited Series, nominees Jessica Biel for her role in USA Network's The Sinner, Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon both got nominations for Big Little Lies, and Jessica Lange and Susan Sarandon both got nominations, of course, for their role in Feud on FX. And finally, in the Best Supporting Actress category, this includes everything, comedy, drama series, limited series, mini series, etc. The nominees are Alfred Molina for Feud on Feud on FX, Alexander Skarsgård, I believe for Skarsgård, I would say, just looking for what he was nominated for, I think that was for Big Little Lies, that's right, Big Little Lies on HBO. David Selwick for Fargo. Also, we have Christian Slater for Mr. Robot. And finally, David Harbour for Stranger Things. And finally, in the Best Supporting Actress category, two nominations for Big Little Lies, again on HBO, Laura Dern and Shannon Woodley. Then we have Christy Metz for This Is Us on NBC. We have Michelle Pfeiffer for The Wizard of Lies. And finally, we have, that's right, Michelle Pfeiffer, Wizard of Lies. And I forgot the last one. Oh, yeah, and out for The Handmaid's Tale. That's it, and out for The Handmaid's Tale. So in total, HBO received 12 Golden Globe nominations this time around. I think it was a little bit lower than last year, or I should say this year, because we're still in 2017. Netflix, second place with 9, FX with 8, NBC and Showtime tied for 4th with 5, and finally, the big program, Big Little Lies, with 6 nominations. Seth Meyers will get his turn hosting the Golden Globe Awards on January 7th, on NBC. It will be live to all time zones. And two quickies for you. TBS received rerun rights for the Fox comedy Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Maybe this specific will be the last season for that popular long-running comedy. The episodes will be playing on TBS starting on January 4th. And Superstition, Magnavon Peoples' supernatural drama on Sci-Fi, will move from primetime to 11 p.m. Thursday starting this week. If you want to catch the wonderful interview we did with Magnavon Peoples, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, or go to iTunes, Apple TV's iTunes podcast app, and, of course, the iHeartRadio podcast network. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live is the chief executive of the interactive advertising firm Connect, Mike Fitzsimmons. Mike, happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays for having me.
Hey, pleasure. Where are you calling from?
San Francisco.
Great. Delighted to have you aboard from that terrific city. Mike, why do you think next year may very well be the year that we start interacting with commercials?
It's one really, really simple answer. It's scale. It's the first year in the U.S., at least, that over 50% of all televisions will actually have an active IP connection, which might seem like a little thing, but that single development itself is a pretty monstrous one for this industry.
And you can also combine that, Mike, with the fact that over 60% of U.S. households now have a smart TV set or a smart TV device like Roku, Google Chromecast, Amazon Fire, and so forth. But what may be the topper with all this is that more of these sets and devices now have Siri, Alexa, Google Assistant, other artificial intelligence processes which allow you to actually command how you watch and use TV.
Yeah, I think you're right on, and that's probably answer number two, right, is now that you have scale, the next big thing is consumer adoption, and what we're starting to see is just this rapid adoption of these new technologies in the home that enable consumers to more efficiently engage with what it is that they're watching, driven, as you said, by everything from voice to mobile to other, to any, you know, another wide range of technology innovations that have taken place.
Mm-hmm. What about the mindset of us, the people? Why do you think, or how fast do you think we're going to adopt to this idea of talking back to commercials, or maybe dictating how a commercial will go, or maybe on the spot ordering merchandise, or getting more information about a product, whether it's Jif peanut butter, or whether it's hardware from George Pacific?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things I would say to that. I think one is that if the ecosystem is doing its job, the goal is to present viewers with offers for products that are highly relevant to them, that they either need or have a propensity to buy. So if you believe that, then anything that we can do to make that consumer journey that much more efficient, we believe is a welcome innovation on behalf of the end customer. It's funny, you think about Amazon and dash buttons, and who would have thought, right, that people would be popping buttons throughout their home to help make ordering Tide detergent easier. But there's a reason they do that, and that's part of what our thesis is that anything we can do to make that consumer journey, that ultimate end purchase and ultimately delivery to the home that much easier, that's a good thing for everybody involved.
I was on a TV of Tomorrow show panel. You were also at that event on a different panel, but I was with somebody from Amazon. That person was sitting next to me, and I made the point that if you have Amazon Fire TV and you're an Amazon Prime customer, you can order any Amazon product you want. And I actually posed that as a quiz to the audience. And when I asked how many of your Amazon Prime customers, a lot of folks raised their hands. But when it came to did you know that you could order the merchandise, fewer people raised their hands. How much of a gap do you think there is in terms of understanding what people can do with these commercials?
I think that's a great point. I love that you asked that question. I wish I'd been in that panel. I was conflicted at the time on the panel I was on, but that's I love that challenge, and there is a consumer education challenge here. I will tell you that we're getting to a place though where consumers are slowly but surely figuring out that they can buy from just about any interactive experience that exists. I think you see Amazon with what's that, their Billy the Bat, the canal actually act as an activation device. So it is amazing where we're headed to, and I think it's just going to take some consumer education that's going to require assistance from everybody in the ecosystem. And this involves the smart TV providers. This involves advertisers, right, of educating their people that see their ads, that these ads are shoppable and that they can engage and transact with them immediately, right? It's gonna take a full education effort from across the entire ecosystem to make it all come together. But I think what I would emphasize is that, man, the motivations are certainly there. If you just think about how durable linear television advertising has been, and the scale of it still, right? It's still a $70 billion plus industry. And think about what in the digital environment, think if you couldn't interact with a digital ad, what that may or may not have done to helping for digital advertising to turn into what it's turned into. So I think there's just this inevitable collision that's coming that satisfies both the consumer demand and the goal of the advertiser, which is ultimately to sell while they're running the ads. And so we've got an education effort in front of us that we have to knock out, but the pieces are in place to make that happen.
Micah Simmons is chief executive of Connect. It's one of the companies that is out to make the era of interactive ads that you can watch and use and order from happen. He's live with us from San Francisco this half hour on this interactive TV or in addition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom Appleman, we're live from New York. Glad you're with us on this Monday afternoon. 41 degrees at the top of the hour. By the way, for those of you who are listening to us in New York and you've been keeping in touch with what happened with the bombing near the Port Authority bus terminal earlier today, the suspect was apprehended. Four people were injured. Luckily, no fatalities. We understand the subways, I believe, are coming back to normal, buses as well, and traffic, according to the latest word from Spectrum News New York 1, is that the traffic in the area, in the Times Square area, including 8th Avenue, which is where the Port Authority bus terminal is back to normal. Anyway, if you have a question or comment for our guest, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, DiamondApple04 by name. Coming up on the program Friday, the man behind The Biggest Loser will be joining us as our lead guest. His latest work is Ultimate Beastmaster. It's Netflix's first ever global competition series, so best gloves involved. First season premiered earlier this year. Second season premieres this Friday. That's Dave Bloom will be with us. Then, find out about a new web series. It's a webtoon that just became a TBS tune. It's called Tarantula. It's on Monday nights, and we'll have Carmen Mell, the creator and executive producer, with us. That's all Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. Mike, when will you start pumping up your commercials, and what kind of interactive commercials do you want to do?
Well, so we're active currently, just to be clear. We have some really exciting clients that are currently running interactive commercials. You'll see if you own an LG connected television, actually starting today, and you see a commercial for Target for their holiday ads, you'll be able to engage and transact directly from those ads. So that's a really exciting new launch for us. As I said, that's actually live today. But we have a number of different clients that are active on the platform currently, and I think you're going to expect to see continued adoption from the client side, and subsequently, you as a consumer will see our technology in action.
Now, how does the LG spots run for that client for Target? So, do you have to watch a Target ad on a television network with your smart TV with that LG set? Or does it pop up out of nowhere, no matter what you're watching?
No, it's all completely synchronous with the ad that you're watching. So the way our technology works behind the scenes is basically we use automatic content recognition technology, ACR technology, to identify the commercial that is airing at a given point in time, and then we dynamically deliver a digital enhancement to that commercial over the top of the linear ad that effectively enables you as a user to take action against it. So wherever you're watching that ad, regardless of what network it's on or what show it's on, we can deliver the ability for you to engage and ultimately transact against that ad.
Do you vet the ad that you're going to overlay on before you present it to us? And secondly, what kind of things can we do with the ad? What kind of either call to action or initiatives can you take when you watch that spot?
Yeah, good question. Just to make sure I'm clear on your first question. Did you say, do we vet the ad, i.e. do we review the advertiser's spot itself?
Yes. Let's say you want to use a Target spot. Do you review the Target spot to make sure that there's no problems with it, it's appropriate for the audience, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, well, they've really done that, just to be clear. We're not influencing their media plan at all. You know, that's a really important part of our strategy is we believe the agencies and the platforms and the tools they have to both programmatically and address their audiences, they're pretty good at that. So we don't have any influence on the creative. What we do is we receive the ad in advance and we fingerprint the ad. That's what effectively enables us to do what we do. So we have, as I mentioned a moment ago, this ACR technology that identifies the ad and ultimately enables us to dynamically trigger our engine. So that's to the extent, but we're not in any way, shape or form influencing what the creative is. We leave that to the experts on that side. In terms of your question about what consumers can do, this is what's just really cool about where the world is now. And really just think about taking any digital act you could take and being able to do this now in a linear environment. It's just a really transformative thing. So this could include something as simple as see the ad and find the store that's closest to you, right? So you're watching the Target ad and wherever you're located, and we can point you towards a special offer at a store that's right around the corner from your house, all the way to a point of you know, enabling you to transact on a product directly from the ad itself and sort of everything kind of in between. So there's just, when you think about it at a really high level, just this ability to bring sort of internet-like experiences directly to a linear TV experience is really what's so special about what it is that we're bringing together. You mentioned voice earlier. We now have a voice skill live in Google that's called Shop TV. So if you actually use the term Shop TV while you're watching the ad, we actually sync with the ad and you can go down the purchase funnel directly from your voice device. So there's some really cool things like that that we're working on as well, that I think just with this broader vision of trying to make it easy for consumers to work their way down their purchase journey and their purchase path, you know, our goal is to try and, you know, service as many of those channels as possible.
What other TV set or TV device makers are you working with?
So we announced a partnership last week with Hisense. I don't know how familiar your audience is with Hisense, but believe it or not, they're the third largest manufacturer of televisions globally. They're one of the top-selling TVs sold at Walmart stores. So we announced that, I think, on Thursday of TV of Tomorrow, which is a really exciting new partnership for the company. We're currently live on Sony devices as well, which is another pretty major provider here in the U.S. And we have a handful of other exciting partners that we either haven't announced or will be announcing here in the next couple of quarters. Our goal is to get our technology available in 50 million devices, 50, by the end of this year. And we're sort of on a good path to do that.
And who else, Mike, besides Target, is a client?
So Target is running now, and I bring them up. They, Essence, who's their agency at WPP, actually partook in our announcement last week on Thursday with Hisense. So that's an exciting one that is running right now. I think you've got clients like Bose running at the moment. Bose is obviously an incredibly innovative TV investor and does a lot of advertising around sports and other things. And they're a really exciting current active client, and a number of others that are active at any given time. It changes obviously from day to day and week to week.
Mm-hmm. Connect. That's Connect with a K near the end, is one of the folks trying to make the era of interactive advertising happen at a place near you, typically the smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Some devices and the sets you just heard have them. Some will have them soon. Mike Fitzsimmons, the Chief Executive Officer of Connect. He's live from San Francisco this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. First half of an interactive episode. Coming up in the second half of the program, we'll go live to Toronto, Canada, speak with someone we've had on before, Jeff Weber, the head of Zone TV, currently involved with Santa Tracker, which is much more than just tracking Santa these days, and about 28 million cable and satellite households, including folks with Comcast or DirecTV, currently have that product, which is really expanded. We'll join us live from Toronto, second half of the hour. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment from Mike, give us that call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next week, we'll be coming your way with three episodes. That's the week before Christmas, Monday, Thursday, Friday, all our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. Then the following 2 weeks, Tuesday and Friday, both weeks. Tuesday, Friday will be the week after Christmas, our final episodes of 2017. Following week, our first episodes of this coming year, 2018. So that's Tuesday and Friday, week after next, and week after that, right here, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Mike, from what you heard at the TV of Tomorrow show, both your panel and other places, how do you think this interactive TV era is going to move starting next year?
Well, I just think it's an awesome time, and I know, you know, look, we've all looking backwards the Jennifer Aniston sweater story from a decade ago, and we've all been through some various versions of this story. It's just a different time, right? I mean, two things are undeniable. One is TV advertising still really, really big. It's still $70 billion plus. But two, you know, think about e-commerce in the U.S. being close, you know, over $400 billion this year and continuing to grow rapidly. So it's kind of undeniable that both the supply side of this equation, which is brands and retailers wanting to sell direct to their end users, and the consumer side of this equation, which is consumers wanting to buy direct, combined with just the general scale of TV advertising continuing to be so large, I think we're on an inevitable collision. The other piece, though, I think is as powerful is that the broadcast industry, and I don't want to say has woken up because that would be unfair, but is definitely awake to these opportunities now. And I think for a long time, over the last decade, you know, we haven't had the commitment from the industry and all the different players in the industry to innovate at the pace that we need to innovate at. And I think that's changed. Even at that TV of Tomorrow show that we were all participating in, you heard it loud and clear that you know, no one's under a rock right now. We all know you've got digital finally passing linear in terms of TV advertising and digital advertising. That's a real thing. And I think we're waking up and saying, hey, we got to do stuff. We got to innovate. We got to make these traditional 30-second linear ads, you know, more effective. We got to make them smarter. We got to make them, you know, more targeted. And we got to make them behave more like digital in order to kind of future-proof these revenue streams. So I think there's just a collective awakening. I'm curious to know if you share the same sentiment, but a collective awakening that an urgency that action needs to be taken. I think what we see what's happening in the ratings game, just generally speaking, too, you can't sort of deny these potential headwinds, and the call for innovation has just never been greater. So I'm excited. I think the industry is excited, you know, and I think, as I mentioned at the outset of this call, the scale is finally there to make some of this stuff a reality.
Do you think there's any pitfalls in front of you, whether it is the audience not being able to understand what they can do with this type of advertising because either journalists don't cover what's going on or the smart TV set and device makers don't showcase what these folks can do, like yourself, or because TV industry conferences or consumer electronics conferences do not cover the subject and they don't give you a sense of here's what's going on, here's the latest developments, but more importantly, here's the consequences and the impact that these developments are going to have on people?
Yeah, I think those are all really good points, and you probably cost me another couple of hours sleep tonight, so thanks for bringing up a couple of new ones. Look, nothing when you're trying to disrupt an industry, right, nothing's easy. And so the three core constituents, when you look at this space and you think about who's motivated to do what, you know, and you think about the media industry and the content industry, think about content owners, distributors, folks that have historically, you know, fed off of TV, linear TV advertising. I think that that group is motivated, right, to take action here. So they're going to do their part, my belief is. I think if you think about the next tier, which is the advertisers and the agencies themselves, I think they're duly motivated, right, to make TV advertising smarter and to make it more effective and to increase data, all that good stuff. And so I think there's no – you check that box. I think you're the third leg of the stool is the consumer, and that is – that's the wild card, you know, and like anything that you're trying to do, you got to figure that out. And that's going to require education. Like, as we said earlier, that's also going to require constant innovation on the tools. I mean, just voice itself is just a really, really interesting, transformative opportunity for guys like us, you know, and you know, I'm a Comcast X1 subscriber. I use my voice remote. I use it all the time. I use that feature a lot more than I did a year ago. I don't know what it's like in your household, but I'm pretty dependent upon it, right? So I think those are the pieces that we're going to have to keep innovating, make it easy for the consumer and adapt to the evolution of the technologies that are in front of us. But I think the first two pieces, like anything, that you're trying to make change and you've got the two big anchors, which in this case are the guys that are content owners and the platform providers and the MVPDs, and then you have the advertisers and the agencies. And I think those constituents are all duly motivated to figure this out. And if we can do our part from a technology perspective to make it easy for the consumer, you know, I'm optimistic that we're gonna make it work.
If you have an LG Smart TV set, you can now get ads produced and distributed through Kinect. That's Kinect with a K, not a C, near the end of that spelling. And do you want more details about Kinect and when their advertising will come to a TV set or TV connected device near you, is where you go online, www.kinect.com. That's www.connect.com. Mike Fitzsimmons, Chief Executive of Kinect, thank you for joining us. Happy holiday season to you. Good luck on a great 2018 and with other companies ushering in a new era where we all get the chance to not only watch those commercials but interact with them and hopefully make them for the better.
Awesome. Thanks so much for the time, guys.
You're welcome, Mike. Take care. All the greatest. Mike Fitzsimmons joining us live from San Francisco. More Tomorrow We Shall Live coming your way, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com, the proud development partner of the 2017 New York Television Festival. If you're in the mood for some classic literature and some classic sound at the same time, try this. The Great Gatsby, the wonderful F. Scott Fitzgerald novel narrated by who else? Dave Gyllenhaal. And you can get it right now as part of a one-month trial of Audible.com. That is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 8,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. All you got to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. And from there, you get one free audio book, Great Gatsby, or anything of your choice in any category, plus you also get that one-month trial and great customer service because Audible is owned by Amazon.com. So hear for yourself why Audible can transform the way you hear the world. For that free audio book, one-month trial, and more, audibletrial.com/televised. That's from Audible.com, an Amazon company. When we come back, we're going live to Toronto, Canada, and we're speaking with Jeff Wimmer. He's been on the show before, the head of Zone TV. And currently, they're tracking what St. Nick is up to, and a whole lot more through Santa Tracker, available on about 28 million cable and satellite households across the country. And what happened to our classic trivia question last week? Well, we didn't get a winner, so we'll have a new classic question for you coming up in the half hour ahead. We'll get to all of that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected with the best internet radio in the universe. It's www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And we're also coming away on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Check us out. Just go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow We Shall Live in the search bar, and you're right there. Or go to Podcast at the top of the screen, click that, then Entertainment under Categories, and you can catch us anytime you like. Here at Blog Talk Radio, it's your home for With Destiny in Hand. Check out this special program tomorrow, 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. That's Beat You Available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back for the second half of our interactive edition of Tomorrow Be Told Lies during this holiday season of 2017. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for our next guest, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Numbers good anywhere. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. Chat room's still open. Simon Apple 04 by name. You can find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Our friend from Philly, Rick Webb, already in the room. This is a time of season where a lot of things happen for the holidays. Everything from holiday movies, lots of the Christmas standards playing on radio stations all over the country. And yes, it is Santa Tracker time. Santa Tracker is an attraction that's been happening the last couple of years in cable and satellite households, and it's getting more interactive by the year. Because in addition to following Santa wherever he is spreading the cheer before Christmas Eve, you can also check out stories you can read along, games you can play, holiday single, karaoke style, and even a Christmas countdown calendar. And that's available on over 28 million cable and satellite customers across the country, including folks to Comcast X1 platform, as well as Frontier Communications, DirecTV, and AT&T's U-verse. Joining us live from Toronto, Canada, the chief executive of Zone TV, which also handles Santa Tracker, Jeff Weber. Jeff, welcome back. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you, Simon. How are you?
Fine, thank you. So where is Santa at as we speak through your tracker?
Santa's still in the North Pole, I can tell you with 100% certainty, but he's gearing up.
Is he late coming out of the chute or what?
No. So Santa Tracker is live on, as you said, about 28, approaching 30 million homes these days. And, you know, we're already seeing tremendous usage from families and kids starting to use all the features you talked about, read along, the holiday theme movies, and all of those things. But Santa himself, as you know, doesn't fly until Christmas Eve. But Santa Tracker is up and doing great.
Since you brought it up, how many people check out the tracker this year so far compared to, let's say, this time a year ago?
Yeah, we're actually a little bit ahead. What I could tell you is, depending on the operator, and there's a little bit of difference in there, between 20 and 30% of all homes that a cable or satellite company has will play with Santa Tracker during the month of December. And depending on the operator, they usually launch around Thanksgiving in the U.S., and that's a pretty big weekend. And then it cools off a bit. And kind of ramps as we get closer and closer to Christmas Eve. So we're tracking nicely, no pun intended, ahead of last year, which we're thrilled with. What we see, Simon, is operators come back year after year, and they really spend more time marketing, making sure that our placement in the EPG is better, because it really is a bit of a gift to their consumers. Families love it. On average, the dwell time in the Santa Tracker experience is about 15 minutes. That's a long time to be playing around in there. And so it's really good for operators to give that gift, if you will, to their consumers during the holiday season. And it's just a great way for families to come together and have a great experience.
How long has Santa Tracker been an interactive attraction, and how has the format expanded or improved over the years?
Yeah, it's been around 9 years, if you can imagine. Started on U-verse a long time ago, and it's evolved. The design has changed, but what's really happened is a much better job of integrating a lot of the other properties that we have. So kids read along and karaoke has become more prominent. What's been great for operators over the last couple years is holiday-themed VOD, their on-demand, will link into their VOD storefront, depending on the operator, and they see 60, 70% click-through. When a consumer looks at a trailer, clicking all the way through to purchase. It's just astounding numbers. And so from the operator's perspective, they start to see this not as a cost center at all, but actually a way to make money off of their holiday-themed VOD. So that's been just a terrific opportunity for them and us.
It seems that the more the tracker has been around, the more interactive it's getting. As I mentioned, leading into you coming aboard, you now can do everything from sing and play Christmas songs and do read-along stories. You can play games. If you want to order your favorite Christmas movie like The Polar Express or Jingle All the Way, you can. And there's now this countdown calendar. Before you introduce a new interactive feature, how much research do you do, or how much questioning the audience do you do in terms of figuring out the interest level in features like that?
You know, it's really a mix. There have been times in the past where it was just sort of obvious with something like Sing Along, where it was just a great add to the experience. We don't do a lot of research, if you will. What we typically look at is for our kids' read-along service, Tumble Books, which is an SVOD that we offer out there. We're really looking at uptake and interaction with those kinds of features, and then taking that capability, which is really demonstrated in the market that customers love it, and tying it into the holiday theme, selecting the proper books, working with our partner to do those kinds of things, that's really where we spend a little bit more time. Because what we know is sing-alongs or holiday-themed games they're already popular, so we don't really need to prove that, if you will, in kind of a classic market research piece. It really is just making sure it's tied into the experience and works well. So we spend more of our time there.
Santa Tracker, a attraction that's been growing for 9 years, more features than before, and if you are, for example, a subscriber to Comcast X1's platform or AT&T Juverse, Frontier Communications, CenturyLink, and other cable and satellite operators around the country, you probably can pick up Santa Tracker. It's available in more than 28 million households across the country for its current 2017 edition. We've got the folks from Zone TV on the program, specifically the head of Zone TV, Jeff Weber. He joins us live from Toronto, Canada, up north from where we are, deep in the heart of Brooklyn. Simon Appleman with you live from New York, 41 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy with us, this interactive edition of Tomorrow We Tell. Be interactive with us. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up on Friday's episode, Dave Broom, the creator of The Biggest Loser on NBC, now involved as executive producer of Ultimate Beastmaster, Netflix's first global reality competition. Sylvester Stallone is also involved. The series premiered early this year. Season 2 premieres this Friday. Also, we'll check out the latest example of a webtoon becoming a TV series tune. We're talking about Tarantula that started earlier this month on TBS. Great executive producer Carson Mell will be along. So tune us in Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What are the new features, Jeff, that people can use on the tracker this year?
So I talked about the holiday-themed movies, which has been a really big hit. We're doing some more of our own video. So the actual Santa Tracker, Christmas Eve, starting in New Zealand and going all across the globe, we actually did those ourselves this year. It's one of our early original productions, if you will. And really gave us an opportunity to tailor that to specific markets and spend a little time. And I think that's going to be something really fun that you will see on Christmas Eve.
And I understand that. Is this the first time that the read-along books are in Spanish as well as English?
In some operators, they've been in Spanish, but that was we broadened that out and amazing early numbers, and it's maybe a little bit too early to start to call it specifically, but on the operators that added Spanish this year, some just fantastic over-index in usage, so we really think we're on to something here.
Now, you also have a radio station that operates as part of Santa, Rudolph Radio. How many songs do you play? How are they rotated? How does that radio side work?
Yeah, so we work with one of our partners and license music from them and get at, their entire library of holiday-themed radio songs. I'm not even sure how many it is, but it's a pretty big library of content. I haven't gotten to the bottom of it. What I can tell you, we build Santa Tracker for families and kids, obviously. But in my own case, we use the sing-along last year. My kids are college and out of college, so we're not at least what you think of as the target market for Santa Tracker. But last Christmas Eve, I can tell you that it's at least possible there was some eggnog involved, and there were four our adult children, my wife and I, doing Santa Tracker sing-along. So it's actually good, as it turns out, for families, kids, and also families without kids. So it was kind of a fun experience for me to get to do that with my kids on the Santa Tracker app that obviously we love here at Zone TV.
Is anything about the service ad supported? And if not, given what we just heard the first half hour from Mike Fitzsimmons at Connect, is that something you might look at, maybe interactive commercials, now that more and more households have smart TVs and smart devices?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are some ads. They're really static at this point. We've looked at that. I wouldn't be surprised next year if you see a little bit more advertising. We're really, really careful not to make it overly commercial, pretty sensitive to that. So I think what you'll expect to see from us as we go forward is more building, you know, depending upon the advertising partner, into maybe our games or as part of an icon using a logo to get around on the screen. There are a number of things we've played around with. We haven't done a bunch of that yet, but I think we're going to move down that path, really focusing on being sensitive to making it look natural, really blend into the experience, because this is all about family fun, and we want to make sure we maintain that.
Yeah. You're about to close the book on Zone TV 2017. How much progress has your venture made from January? Where are you at now in terms of your reach, the kind of services you offer, and what are you most proud of so far about this year?
Yeah, it's been a busy and really fun year. And I think what I would tell you is this time last year, I think we were in 8.5 million homes with one of our services. We talked about 28 million on Santa Tracker, but we're in 37 million homes with our Santa Tracker, our Halloween Countdown, our subscription VODs, and our new Dynamic Channels product that'll be launching soon. So we've gone, you know, kind of 4X in terms of having at least one of our products and services into homes in North America. And you know, that's just an extraordinary growth rate, and we're thrilled with that. And I will tell you, I expect that kind of growth to continue in North America, but in Europe as well. We're really getting a lot of interest and very excited about what 2018 holds there.
Mm-hmm. Do you see the idea of offering a holiday service expanding this coming year? I think of Hallmark Channel and Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, and you know, for years they focused just on original movies and Christmas as far as holidays go, but now you see them have movies for Valentine's Day, movies for 4th of July, movies for spring, movies for the wedding season, movies for Halloween, movies for Thanksgiving. It just seems that any holiday now is fair game to be showcased in a made-for-TV movie. Do you see at some point perhaps more of these, if not trackers, obviously, more tie-ins with the holidays in different interactive ways?
Absolutely. I hadn't thought about Hallmark, but we're actually following very much that same model generally. So we think about these as pop-up channels. So it could be anything that has an end date. It could be a holiday, obviously Santa Tracker. We launched for the first time ever this year over Halloween Countdown on Comcast. So anything that has a build-up and an end date, and that could, again, holidays. It also could be an event, Olympics, Final Four, you know, depending upon the operating partner and rights, of course. We view pop-up channels, these event-type trackers, as a very much a growth opportunity for us. We're seeing a lot of interest in, you know, all different kinds of these pop-up channels, and I think you'll see in 2018 we'll do a lot more there.
Jeff Weber is the chief executive of Zone TV. They're the folks behind Standard Tracker, which is currently in its ninth season on cable systems and DirecTV, also all over the country. Some of the cable operators, Comcast with their X1 platform, also CenturyLink in various markets, Frontier Communications, and other operators. So chances are, including AT&T Universe. So chances are that among those 28 million cable and satellite households that can pick up Standard Tracker in some fashion, might be yours as well. By the way, if you want to find out more about that, you go to www.zone.tv, www.zone.tv. Jeff joins us live from Toronto, Canada, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Apple Band with you live from New York. Coming up next, we have our classic trivia question of the week. We have a new week for you this week. And also a follow-up on our Friday news note about Tom Rutledge and what he said or didn't say about original content production a week ago at the UBS Global Media Conference here in NYC. I want to remind you that if you came in too late on today's episode, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, we make it so easy for you. Go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Or go to iTunes.com, check out the podcast version there, or Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you, order it online, of course. Join the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. It's very simple. Go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click you right there, or go to podcast at the top of the screen, click that, then under categories, entertainment, and you will find us, and you can join us anytime you like. Jeff, what you're thinking about where the interactive television field stands right now? We know that we're ending this year with, as I mentioned in our first half hour, over 60% of all U.S. households have smart TV sets and devices. If we're reading the tea leaves right from what happened with sales on Cyber Monday and Black Friday and most of last month, that may be near 65% by this time. We are seeing artificial intelligence like Siri and Alexa being pushed into sets and devices. We are about a month away from seeing Steven Soderbergh's Mosaic project, which is starting as an Apple TV app, the idea of choosing your own storylines or making your own miniseries from scratch with the plot, with the video footage, et cetera, coming on HBO next month. What's your sense of where this whole interactive TV universe is at going into 2018, and do you see that next year may end up being the year that at long last we finally see a universe take shape?
Yeah, so obviously the whole ecosystem, the whole interactive space is kind of on fire. There's an awful lot going on. Our view is interactivity and personalization are really powerful tools. Obviously, we build that into Santa Tracker and our new product, Dynamic Channels. It is very much a part of the overall experience. But we also think that you have to make that simple and pretty easy for consumers. They don't always want to work that hard. Sometimes you want to just watch good content. And so how you blend all of that, how you take the art of TV with the science of whether it's machine learning or artificial intelligence or a really good user experience design and put those together in a way that allows customers to take control or not take control depending upon what they're looking for at that moment in time is critical. And so there's so much activity, as you described, you know, a tiny piece of it, as you know very well. There's a lot of experimentation. There's a lot of really bad ideas out there. And putting those elements together and making it easy for consumers to get at that interactivity and personalization, I think, is the key to really delivering on the promise of what interactivity and personalization can be. And I think that's really where we're focused, is how you put those things together.
Yeah. Before I go, two things. First of all, update us on the Dynamic Channel project. When you were here last time, you mentioned it. When will we start seeing that, and what kind of channels can we expect?
Yeah, so we made an announcement about it. We'll actually launch early next year. We have an operator signed, and we're going through testing and really excited to get that into the market, and I think much more to come there. Initially, probably 14 channels, a lot of lifestyle. So Foodies is one of our channels, or Styler, Man Cave, Playground. So a number of channels that really provide a very broad set of content. We've signed about 6,000 hours, over 6,000 hours of licensed content that feeds those channels. And I think as we talked last time, the dynamic nature of dynamic channels allows you as a consumer to really personalize that channel. And I talk about if I'm a consumer, I'm sitting on my couch, the same remote, I'm not changing the hardware, I'm just watching TV, but if you tune to Man Cave, for instance, and you really like the show on Man Cave, you can just click OK on your remote. We call that Zonify. And when you Zonify the Man Cave channel, we actually reprogram the whole channel on the fly based on the metadata of the show you're watching and your viewing history. So Man Cave becomes a very personalized experience based on what you've said you like. And I mentioned it within the last question. That's really how you put together the art of curating a channel with the science of the artificial intelligence in our really smart platforms and make that very easy for consumers to take control of their experience when they want to. We're incredibly excited about the opportunity with dynamic channels, and much more to come in 2018. Can't wait to get out there live and really let customers start to play with it.
Finally, the Federal Communications Commission last month passed ATSC 3.0. That's the new broadcast transmission standard that would allow broadcast stations to do all sorts of things with additional spectrum, anything from launching interactive services, feeding content directly to mobile phones, to smart TV sets and devices, to offer specialty data services. How good do you think this is going to be, and how fast do you think the broadcasts are going to try to play into this interactive arena?
My guess is they'll push pretty hard. I don't think it's any big surprise. It's a tough environment in the broadcast space with all of the niche and OTT services, et cetera. I think it's pretty universal. This is going to come down to ubiquity, how ubiquitous the CPE, whatever kind of equipment is required, and the content and how easy it is to get at that. If it's, you know, another device, another place a consumer has to go to try and find some content that might be good, that's just a difficult challenge. We, as a broad industry, certainly not just the broadcasters, but all of us have made a lot of strides and done a lot of things that give consumers choice. But there is so much choice. You hear consumers, I don't know, Netflix and Hulu and OTT and my smart TV, and, you know, it's really getting difficult for consumers to try and find what they want. And, you know, we think there's going to be people watching pay TV for a very long time, and just making that a simple experience, I think, is critical. And so I would expect ATSC 3.0 there'll be a lot of effort and energy behind it, and I think it'll come down to how easy and simple it is and how good the content is, like everything else.
If you want to track what Santa Tracker is up to from now until Christmas Eve, here's where you go online, www.zone.tv, that's www.zone.tv. Find out if Santa Tracker is available in your area on cable and satellite, some of the places you can find it. Customers with Comcast X1, Xfinity Platform, AT&T Universe, DirecTV, Frontier Communication, CenturyLink, and other cable operators, maybe one near you. Jeff Weber, Chief Executive of Zone TV, which does Santa Tracker, thank you again for joining us. Happy holiday season to you and your crew, and look forward to covering what you folks are up to next year. Hopefully, as we said earlier, maybe the year that interactive TV really breaks loose upon the American scene.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Simon. Good talking as always.
Same here, Jeff. Happy holidays again. Take care.
And to you. Bye.
Jeff Weber, Chief Executive of Zone TV, joining us live up north from Toronto, Canada. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. We were hoping for three winners, weekly winners in a row. We didn't get it. Here was the question we offered last week and into the weekend. Name the five Marvel superheroes that were featured in that 1966 animated series that played on TV stations all over the country. It was the first Marvel animated series ever. And the answers were, and we wanted all five, Captain America, The Incredible Hulk, Iron Man, Thor, or The Mighty Thor. We would have taken either answer. And Prince Namor, The Submariner. Those are the five Marvel superheroes we were looking for. Nobody got it. So we're going to keep the prize in play that's previously X-Men from our guest from last week. And that is Eric LaWall. We're going to keep that in play. So here's our new classic trivia question of the week. And if you first with the correct answer, you will win that new book previously on X-Men. And here's what we want to know. What was Burt Reynolds' first television series? What was Burt Reynolds' first television series? It was in the late 1950s, and we want the name of the series that he was a star or a co-star on. Not doing a guest shot, a star or co-star situation. What was Burt Reynolds' first television series? If you know the answer, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and your full mailing address. If you first with the correct answer, you will win previously on X-Men by Eric Lewall. And if you just missed the question, don't worry, I'll post it tomorrow morning on my Facebook page, also on Twitter. The handle at UBTSimonTWBT. That's at UBTSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to win, be in, play, and all the very best. And finally, before we take our leave for this Monday afternoon, we told you on Friday that last Monday afternoon, 1 week ago at the UBC Global Media Conference, Tom Berlin, the head of Charter Communications, Nation's headquarters cable operator, was giving a presentation. The subject came up of his co-production partnerships made earlier this year with AMC Networks and Viacom, where they would co-produce material with both companies. They would get exclusive dibs on the first airing of those projects that come up, and then would go to Viacom or AMC for other places. During that presentation, he said, we think, and we're also going to do on our own original content production. We did get in touch this morning with a representative of Charter. We were told to refer to the investor website that video footage of that presentation would be there. Remember, UBC did not allow press for the first time in 45 years of that conference to come to their event, which was live at the Grand Hyatt Hotel this past Monday through Wednesday. So during the week, we will check out that investor website. We'll see if we can find that footage. And we'll let you know what exactly he said and whether he did, in fact, elaborate on the idea of original content production on Friday's episode. If he did say that specifically, that may be the biggest story of last week that was not covered anywhere. What we can tell you is what we'll be covering on Friday's episode. We will have from The Biggest Loser and now the executive producer of the Netflix series Ultimate Beastmaster, my lead guest will be Dave Broom. And from the newest webtoon to become a TV series soon, Tarantula on TBS Monday Nights, creator executive producer Carson Mayle. And remember, next week we'll be with you 3 days, Monday, Thursday, Friday. That's the week before Christmas. Following 2 weeks, Tuesday and Friday, with our final episodes of this year, our first episodes of next year. And we'll tell you our guest lineup as we go throughout the week. So keep posting on Facebook and Twitter for that information. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast version on iTunes.com, also on Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. Remember, if you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple Store near you or online, of course. Check us out 24/7 on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. We love hearing from you. What's your thoughts about interactive TV? Do you think it's going to happen as advertised in a big way in 2018? Love to know. Email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and where you're from. You can also find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. Again, the handle at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. We always love to hear where you're at with the world of television. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not through those of Blog Talk Radio or iHeartRadio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. ATO is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Sonberg is executive content producer. The co-founders of this enterprise, Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you today by Audible.com, proud development partner of the 2017 New York Television Festival. Audible will transform the way you hear the world as an Amazon company. But Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great week ahead. Those of you who are Jewish, happy start of your Hanukkah season. We'll be back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.